told his story. The story of his birth. Angels proclaimed it. Shepherds traveled to where the baby lay. In a manger. Could he really be the Savior the angels promised? Today, years later, we know that indeed, Jesus is still good news.
You know, it is a blessing. For 20 years now, we've been able to enjoy a kids' Christmas program. And to remember, really, it's an opportunity for us to be reminded of the truths about what true Christmas is all about. And today, what I want to talk about briefly is, why is Christmas good news? Why is it good news? Because we know, and you know in particular, people, that the holiday season is anything but good news. For some of you, it's true as well. We know that a lot of people struggle during the holiday season with things like depression and suicidal thoughts and stress, anxiety, loneliness. A lot of people experience a lack of fulfillment, grief, and social isolation. This is a fact. So why is Christmas good news? I wonder if part of the reason that we don't experience the Christmas that we should is because we're focusing on the wrong thing. We don't understand really what Christmas is about. That's why we need to be reminded. And I want to help us today, first of all, with the help of an unlikely source, and that would be the Grinch who stole Christmas. He can help us understand the true meaning of Christmas. You remember the part of the movie where the Grinch is puzzled. He's confused about why all the Whos down in Whoville continue to rejoice and sing and be happy and joyful, even though he thought he stole everything about Christmas that was meaningful to them, all the material possessions. He took it all, yet they were still rejoicing. So let me just pick it up in the narrative here. And it says this: "And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. He puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more?" Could it be that we've missed the true meaning of Christmas? Could that be possible? Could it be that there is more to Christmas than what we make of it and what our world and our culture makes of it? Could it be that there's more and we've just forgotten? I suggest that's probably true. What is the good news all about? Why is Christmas good news? You realize that Christmas revolves around an event, an actual event, that took place over 2,000 years ago. 2019, to be specific. And it took place in a tiny, little, dusty, insignificant village in Palestine. This event changed the world, and it's never been the same since. This is why we celebrate Christmas. This event. In fact, this event still has ramifications and impact on you and I today. You will experience it today and this week and the coming week. With Christmas week, you will experience long lines at airports and stores. You'll experience traffic jams, full churches, packed out stores, and actually something remarkable is that you will find businesses shutting down their commerce. And that is the most amazing miracle of all, that people would say, "We're not going to make money on this day." But that's going to happen because of the event that took place. In fact, that event, it actually split our entire calendar system from BC to AD. That event is a reminder. Every time you send an email or every time you post an Instagram, there's a date tagged on those items that affirm the fact that something happened 2019 years ago. That event changed the world. But the world doesn't understand it. The world will not help us understand the true meaning of Christmas. In fact, the columnist Dave Barry for the Chicago Tribune, he wrote about his daughter's school. You know, the schools don't want to help us understand Christmas. They want to wipe out anything that has a smell of religion. That happened in his school, and he wrote about it. I thought it was funny. He said, "To avoid offending anybody, my kid's school dropped religion altogether and started singing about the weather. They now hold the winter program in February and sing incredibly non-memorable songs such as Winter Wonderland and Frosty the Snowman and, this is a real song, Susie Snowflake. All of which is pretty funny because we live in Miami." A visitor from another planet would assume that the children belong to the Church of the Meteorology. I also read a public forum Christmas greeting from someone here in Salt Lake City in the Salt Lake Tribune in 2016. I cut it out. It is amazing to me that this is where Christmas has come to. Here's a Christmas greeting from one of our citizens. "My simple Christmas thought, though I know nothing of religion, my deepest thanks I give to the universal forces that my living, breathing, thinking, feeling being is allowed to inhabit this elegantly spinning, rare, and fertile jewel of the cosmos, and that I am not a comet floating trillions of miles out in the black void of space alone." Merry Christmas. How would you like that on your Christmas card? This is what we think of Christmas. The world does not understand Christmas, but the Bible does. The Bible tells us why Christmas is significant and why it's good news. And I want to look at that this morning. We're going to look at three reasons quickly on why Christmas is good news for you and I. It's a reminder, and we need reminding. So would you pray with me? And we'll ask God to help us understand it. Lord, we thank you for coming at Christmas. Thank you that you are the true reason. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, help us understand what it means and what the significance is. Remind us so we can celebrate and embrace you, Jesus, because it's all about you coming to this planet. We thank you for that. I want to pray for anyone here that doesn't have a personal relationship with you yet, that they would receive the free gift that you offer them today, that they wouldn't go another Christmas without receiving that gift and have their sins forgiven so they can know they're with you in eternity in heaven. God, they can have that gift. Help them understand it. We love you and we thank you for coming to this planet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so you have a handout if you want to pull that out. Three reasons why Christmas is good news for you and for me. All right, here's the first reason. Christmas is good news, number one, because God chose to live among us. Let me say that again, because there should be steam coming out of your brain right now. Because this fact is mind-blowing, that the God of the universe chose to live among us. It says in Matthew 1:23 that the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him what? They will call him Emmanuel. And Emmanuel, the Bible tells us, means God with us. So Matthew is quoting the prophet Isaiah out of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And Isaiah said this 680 years before Christ was born, that the virgin is going to be with a child. That child is going to be God in the flesh, God with us. That's who that child is going to be. That is cause for good news. That the creator of everything, if you think how wide and long the cosmos is and all the planets and the sun and the moon and the stars and this planet and all the variety of different animals and the grass and the flowers that grow in the fields and you and I and the complexity that we are and everything that we see, God spoke it into existence. That God became a man and came on this planet. He chose to live among us. Emmanuel means God with us. I like the way J.B. Phillips, he is a Bible scholar, he said this: behind all our fun and games at Christmas time, we should not try to escape a sense of awe, almost a sense of fright at what God has done. We must never allow anything to blind us to the true significance of what happened at Bethlehem so long ago. Nothing can alter the fact that we live on a visited planet. We live on a planet that God came to as a man. You see, Jesus didn't just start in the stable. He didn't start in a stable. He's been God from the beginning. He created everything. Look at this verse in Colossians chapter 1. Jesus Christ is the exact likeness of the unseen God. He existed before God made anything at all. And in fact, Christ himself is the creator who made everything. Let me say that again. Christ himself is the creator who made everything. He didn't start in a stable. In fact, we can just summarize this point by saying Christmas is about the coming of God into our world. That's what Christmas is about, not Susie Snowflake. Would you say this with me out loud? If you don't get anything else, I want you to get this. Christmas is about the coming of God in the world. Ready? Say it out loud with me. Here we go. Christmas is about the coming of God into the world. That's what you need to remember. That's why Christmas is good news, because God chose to live among us. That's the first reason. Here's the second. Christmas is good news because God chose to become like us. He's not just some ethereal, huge power person in the sky. No, he became one of us. That's crazy good. Why did he do it? Because we needed him to. Whether you believe that or not, whether you know it or not, you needed him to. And I needed him to. And he did it. And he came for a relationship. Make no mistake about it. When Jesus came, he didn't start churches. He came to have a relationship with you and with me. It's not about religion. Don't hear me say, oh, you got to start going to church again. That's not what I'm saying. A good church will point you to Christ and a relationship with him. It's not about religion. You know, I traveled this week, and I took an Uber ride to the airport, and my Uber driver, as I engaged him, found out he was from Sudan, and talked to him, and he found out I was a pastor, and he said, you know, I don't go to church. And he's 30 years old. Yusuf was his name. And there was genocide there many years ago, terrible unrest. And when he was 5, his father was killed in front of his mother, and it was some religious people. It was all politics and religion mixed up. So he says, you know, I don't want anything to do with religion. He said, but I believe in God, and I believe Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for me. I said, well, that's interesting. How did you find that out? He says, well, you know, because he's never been to church. He said, well, somebody gave me a New Testament last year, and I've been reading it, and I believe in God, and I believe Jesus died for my sins. It's like, you don't need to go to church to figure this out. I told him that. I said, that blesses my heart so much that God spoke to you the very truth, the very thing that I've given 38 years of my life to tell people. You figured it out just with a New Testament. You just read it, and there it is. And that's a fact. You can do that. You don't need, it's not about religion. You can go to church your whole life and miss it. Yusuf got it just by reading the New Testament. And you can too. Jesus didn't come for religion. In fact, Jesus was criticized because they didn't think he was religious enough. Can you imagine? Jesus, the God of the universe, comes to the planet and they say, no, you're not religious enough. It's not about religion. It's not about church. It's not about reading your Bible. It's not about tithing. It's not about being good enough or feeling worthy enough that God would receive you. It's about God coming to this planet and dying for you, having a relationship. Do you know Christ like Yusuf does? Do you know him or just know about him? He wants to know you. You know, I find this amazing that people often, they get mixed up and think, well, I've just got to go to church and be religious. No, no, no. You need Jesus is what you need. Here's a good quote from Rebecca Pippert, author of Out of the Salt Shaker. She says this, listen, it's a profound irony that the Son of God visited this planet and one of the chief complaints against him was that he was not religious enough. In fact, they killed him because of that. Can you imagine that? It's not about religion. It's about relationship. Not only that, he came as a baby human. Why did he do that? That's crazy. If one of the kids was up here, they'd say, what? That's what we should say. That what God came as a baby? Yeah, he did. Luke tells us they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. In Philippians 2:7, it says, Jesus became like men and was born a human being, the God-man, the Emmanuel, God with us, God incarnate, flesh on God. That's crazy. You know, this is not something we should just pass over. We should spend hours thinking about this because it is shocking. It is actually amazing, mind-blowing, astonishing. Angels were blown away that God would become a man. J.I. Packer, the theologian, said it this way: the Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless human baby, needing to be fed and changed and taught to talk like any other child. The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. Nothing in fiction is so fantastic as this truth of the incarnation, God putting on flesh. It's staggering. Why is it staggering? One reason, I'm going to give you a visual illustration here that I hope you'll never forget. And I've done it every year. And I just want to tell you that here's one reason God became a baby. And that reason is this, is that no one is intimidated by a baby. This baby is chunky. I just want to tell you that right now. You are solid. What's the name? Tiberius. Oh, Tiberius is kicking his feet. Men and women, please don't miss this opportunity right here. Is it that God? Hi, buddy. We're okay. That the God of the universe, who created every star, every atom, He created you and loves you. That God who made the sun and the stars and the moon and the earth and all the animals and the fish and the grass and the flowers, that God who made everything that has always existed, has always been here and will always be here, the God who will judge you one day, that God became one of these. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Our God became weak. There's nothing weaker or more vulnerable or more approachable than a baby. Can you imagine God becoming one of these? A human baby? Can you imagine 2,000 years ago when a man named Joseph took the Son of God in his arms and threw him up in the air and caught him, thank goodness, for our sake? What kind of God do we serve? A God that would do that? Do we become this? We have a God who loves you and is approachable. Give Tiberius a good round of applause there. Yes, well done. Hoping to have my grandbaby, my first grandbaby, be the Jesus next year. We'll see. Christmas is good news because God chose to live among us and God chose to become like us. The third reason Christmas is good news is that God chose to sacrifice for us. He paid our death penalty. Why? So we could receive the gift of eternal life. Someone had to pay our sins for us. You see, yes, God came as a baby, but he grew, became a man, and he died. And some of you have been told, what a shame, that's just a travesty. No, no, no. That was the plan all along, so that you and I could go to heaven. Otherwise, we'd never be able to go to heaven because we'd have to pay for our own sin. We have a God who loved us enough to become a baby, grow up to be a man, never sin, and die on a cross to pay the penalty that you owed. He did it for you. God sacrificed his own son, something none of us would do, for other people, for you. That's a lot of love. God did it for you. He did it for me. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's you and me, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Eternal life can be yours because Jesus opened the door by paying with his life for all the sins that you and I have committed. But we have to receive that gift. We have to receive that gift. Billy Graham says it better than anyone. He says the very purpose of Christ coming into the world was that he might offer up his life as a sacrifice for the sins of men. He came to die. This is the heart of Christmas, that Jesus came to die. It's not just about the birth, it's about his plan to die for sins, to die for your sins. You see, he came to pay for all of your sins. 1 John 4:9 says, God showed how much he loved us. How did he do that? By sending his only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, that God sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Do you see that? How clear it is? Do you see how Yusuf could just read the Bible and go, oh, it's Jesus. That's what it's about. My sin is the problem. He's the answer. I need to receive this gift. It's that simple. It's not complicated. I'm not going to give you a list of things that you have to do and not do to get to heaven. If churches give you that, run away from that church as fast as you can. Because here's the works of God are this, the Bible says, believe in Jesus. That's the work of God. That's it. That is it, and that should be good news for you. Especially if you've been trying to work your way to heaven and you know you never can, and you still feel guilty, and you think, when will I reach that? You never will. Give up. You'll never make it. You'll never be good enough. You see, it cost Jesus everything so that you could have eternal life. It is not your good works. It is not your good works. Christianity is so different than every other religion, true Christianity. It is this. It is not you people telling you what you have to do, what climb the ladder to get to heaven, and hopefully, ding, it'll a bell ring, and you go, oh, you made it. No, no, that's not Christianity. Christianity is not trying to earn your way to heaven. In fact, somebody said it this way. I like it. All other religions are man reaching up to God. Christianity is God reaching down to man through Jesus Christ, coming to this planet as a baby and dying on the cross for your sins. That's true Christianity. What we can offer you today is not religion. We offer you a relationship with Christ. He's already paved the way. You can have that. Today, you can have a relationship with Christ. You can take that free gift. Some of you are still confused. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, that means I've got to start going to church and start reading my Bible and start giving. Here's my list of things. I've got to clean my life up. No, 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 no. You're missing it. Stop that. You've been lied to. It's not what I'm saying. If you think you can earn your way, if somebody tells you you can earn your way into heaven and you must do these things, then they are lying to you and you'll never make it. That's like telling somebody, hey, if you work really hard, you can swim all the way from California to Hawaii. You can do it if you work really hard. That's impossible. Look at that. I'll tell you why it's impossible. Because it's 2,352 miles. And here's what's going to happen. If you jump in the water and start swimming to Hawaii, even though somebody told you that's how you get to Hawaii, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to die. That's what's going to happen. You say, oh, I'm sure somebody could swim. No, 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 no. Nobody could do that. How do I know? Because I have Wikipedia. And I know that's not true. Because I happen to look at the world record open swimming, unassisted ocean swim, and it's Chloe McCardle who swam 78 miles. That's phenomenal. But if you watch the screen here, it gets you about right there. So the world record swimmer can only get there, and you think you're going to make it? No. I hate to break your heart. But you said what a lot of people are thinking. The answer is no, you will not. And here's the reason why you'll never make it. You'll never stand before God and say, I made it on my own good works. No, you won't. You'll die. You'll be sent to hell forever to pay for your sin. And here's why. Let me just explain why. Because you have broken the law. See, you have to be perfect to get to heaven. Oh, that's easy, right? No, no, no. All of us, including me, we've sinned. We sin all the time. We break the law. And for you to say, I'm just going to work harder, that's like saying I'm going to swim to Hawaii. You're going to stand before God and say, here, God, here's all my good works. Let me in. And God's going to say, no, 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 wait a minute. You can never make it because of your sin. You've broken my command. Who's going to pay for your sin? If you get a ticket if you go through a red light, you blow a red light, you get caught red-handed, and the policeman pulls you over, and you say, ah, I got caught. And he's writing you a ticket. How absurd would it be for you at that point to reach in your glove compartment, pull out a notebook, and go, officer, can I just stop you there for a second? Because I want to show you something. I think it'll make a difference. And you show him where you have carefully logged every day and every hour and minute that you went through every green light that you have ever gone through. And you show him, look at all the good I've done. Look at I have gone through so many green lights, and you're going to give me a ticket for a red light? What do you think is going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. The policeman will take a picture of your book and take it to the station, and they will have a good laugh that afternoon at lunchtime. Because it's ludicrous. You know it, and I know it. Are they justified in giving you a ticket for going through a red light, even though you've gone through 1,000 green lights? Absolutely, because you broke the law. And you break the law all the time with God. Because you lie, and you steal, and you lust, and you fornicate, and you use God's name in vain, and you dishonor your parents. And those are just 5 of the 10 commandments. You and I sin all the time. And we think we're going to stand before God and say, look at my list of good stuff. He's going to say, but your bad stuff, who's going to pay for that? You're guilty. The answer is this: you will. You will. In hell forever. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. Somebody else chose to pay it for you. You got a God who loves you enough to become a baby and a man and then die on a cross for all the wrong you've done and all the wrong I've done, because nobody will be perfect. Nobody will go to heaven on their own merits. You need Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus. Because he's the only Savior who was sinless and died for you. And now he offers eternal life to you. So what can you do? The answer is you must accept this gift. And I just want to point a couple things out. You may know about Jesus. That's awesome. You may have gone to church your whole life. Maybe even read the Bible. And that's wonderful. But knowing about Jesus is different than knowing him. It's the difference between being engaged to somebody and marrying them. You can know about Jesus and go to church your whole life, but it's not until you commit to him and you put the ring on the finger. How do you do that? You say yes to him, and you commit to him, and you receive the gift that he offers, and you are clinging to him alone, not your good works or other religions. It's Jesus alone. Once you do that, then you have eternal life. Once you believe and trust in Jesus, and you know he's the only way, you quit fooling yourself to think you're good enough to go to heaven. And you repent and you turn away from your sin. Can I just make a plain point here? You're not here by mistake today. I don't know if you came kicking or screaming. I don't care. You're here on purpose. I told Yusuf in the Uber ride before I got out, I said, Yusuf, I said, I don't think this was a mistake that we sat together, that you were my driver today. And he turned around, big smile, and he said, you think God had a plan? I said, yes, I do. I gave him my card. He might be here today. He said he was going to come. I gave him my card and said, you need to come to the Rock, because we are not about religion. We're about a relationship with Christ. We want to help you grow. And he said, I need to grow. I don't need religion is what he told me. I said, come to the Rock. We'll help you. That's what we're doing. Good religion points you to Jesus. Do you know Jesus, or you just know about him? You're not here by mistake. Finally, how do you receive the gift? Let me just say, it's easy as ABC. A, admit that God is God. You are not God, you never will be God, and that you're a sinner that has been separated from God because of your sin, and you're in desperate need of a Savior. B, believe in Jesus, his Son. B doesn't stand for be a better church person. It's believe in Christ alone. It's not your good works. C, commit your life to his plans and his purposes. Put a sign on your life that says, I'm under new management. It's not me anymore. I'm not the manager of my life. I give it over to you. You're my Lord. You're my King. You're my Savior. You died for me. My life is yours. See, we get that turned around. Oftentimes we put that at the beginning. We say, oh, I got to start doing it. I got to clean up my life. I got to go to church. You know, let Jesus into your life. He can clean you up a lot better than you can. And he will. The point is, will you humble yourself? Will you receive that gift? I'm going to give you a chance now as we conclude. Then we'll have one last song. But I want to give you a chance not to let another Christmas go by without receiving the gift that the God who loves you so much is offering to you. Why would you stand in judgment and say, God, I sang Christmas carols about you being the Christ and you being the Lord, yet I never took it. I never received it. and to be sent off to a place of punishment forever and ever and ever because you just didn't take the step. How horrible would that be, to live with that for all eternity? God's done something about that for you. Would you respond to that? Why wouldn't you? That's the best Christmas gift anyone could ever offer you, and Jesus offers it. Let's bow our heads and pray. And as we turn to God in prayer, I sense that I'm sure there's some of you who have been close to God, maybe in the past, but you kind of drifted. I want to tell you, there's not a better time to come back to God than right now at Christmas time. And just let me clarify, I am not talking about religion or church. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus. I don't care if you came from a Catholic, Protestant, LDS, Jewish, Buddhist, or Baptist background. I don't know. We're not talking about that. We're talking about you having a personal relationship with Jesus. And that's what you were designed to have. And you could begin today. And that's why Christmas is such good news. This is your moment to accept the gift that God offers you. So I'm going to say a prayer. And honestly, if it expresses the desire of your heart, you say, I want that. I want that now. Then pray along with me in the quietness of your own heart. Let these words be your words. You can pray something like this. You can say, Dear God, I don't want another Christmas season go by without accepting this amazing gift that you offer. I thank you for coming to this earth as a baby. Thank you that you chose to live among us. You chose to become one of us, to become like us, and you chose to sacrifice for us. I'm amazed that you would want a relationship with me. I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve it, but I want to get to know you. I want to trust you. I want to give my life to you. But God, I know I've sinned. I've done a lot of wrong. And I'm so thankful for your sacrifice on the cross to offer forgiveness to me, a sinner, for eternal life through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. So the best way I know how, God, from this day forward, I do want to be under new management. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Right now, December 15, 2019, I'm going to plant a flag. I want to receive the gift of eternal life. Come into my life. I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for hearing my prayer today. I thank you for being my Lord and Savior and for the gift of eternal life. I say yes to you, Jesus. Yes. Yes. I receive that gift, and I thank you for dying for me.